We just recognize your presence here today, Lord. We recognize that you are not a distant God, but you're a God in our midst. We revel in your presence. We rejoice in your presence. We stand in awe and wonder in your presence, knowing that all things can be transformed, all things can be restored. And just as we're hearing the testimonies, I think it's always important when sharing testimony, what that word means is the Lord can do it again, or do it again, Lord. And so this morning, before we open the scriptures up and we dig into truth, I think both of their testimonies are beautiful and powerful. And so I just want to hold that before the Lord today. And so maybe you connected with one of them. So maybe you're the person that's got some physical healing that you need the power of God. You've never experienced that. You've known a lot about God, but actually knowing his power, experiencing his tangible presence, maybe that's something different for you. And so if that's you today, we're going to pray for you just in a moment. Or maybe today you come in here with a lot of darkness, a lot of bitterness, a lot of frustration, disappointment. And today you're just asking for light to break in. I think both of those are prayers that the Father loves to not only hear, but respond to. And so if either of those are you this morning, I just want you to put your hand in your heart. Nobody's going to call you out or embarrass you. I just want to pray a blessing over you. There's so much faith in the room today. We just don't want to let it hang out there. And I would also say maybe today you're like, man, I don't know this Jesus that they just talked about. I don't know him. And before we even get to the scriptures today, if you're like, man, I want to say yes to Jesus. Man, we don't need a message to do that. The message came in the form of Jesus himself. He came to love us and to make a way to the Father. And so if that's you today, just tell the Lord, say, I want to follow you. Will you forgive me? Will you bring me into the family of God? I receive you, Jesus. So Lord, I thank you for the people in this room. I thank you for the stories. I thank you for the victories and defeats. I thank you for those that are coming in that have experienced great success this week, and those that are feeling like a complete failure this week, that you are in the midst of all of it. And so today, those that need healing in their body, Lord, we recognize you not just as the healer as a name, but as the one who actually heals. And so Lord, we release your healing in this room. We receive it, Lord, whatever that is, whatever body part that is. That's you today. And just say, Lord, I bless whatever area of your body is just in pain, just like Candace, who had to get surgery, and then the Lord met her and totally restored her shoulder, and she didn't have to get surgery. That's what God does. That's who he is. He's power. It's love. So we just say yes to that, Lord. And then for those of you that are just coming in heavy, Lord, I release your joy. As we dig into the scriptures and talk about joy today, would you awaken joy? Would you let your light shine into the darkness, knowing that the darkness cannot overcome it? And so today, Lord, we open up the door, we open up a window, and we say, come on in. Change our minds, Lord. Change our perspective. May we see you rightly and know that we're not alone. Holy Spirit, would you lead us into truth today and set us free? Set us free today. In Jesus' powerful name, we all said, amen, amen, amen. Man, I feel like there's not much more needed to be done today, right? Anybody love what God is doing on the earth? Anybody else love what God's doing in our community? By the way, way bigger than Christ Fellowship. Anybody else recognize that God is doing amazing things in our region? And just me, I'm going to get up here and just say, like, it's amazing what God is doing. I speak to other pastors in the region, and one pastor said it's like God is turning up the thermostat in their church. Not like the actual, some of you are like hot or cold, I don't know, but like the climate, like the weight of his glory, for whatever reason, we've been asking for a long time, and I know there's many that have been asking the Lord to pour out his spirit in new and fresh ways in our region, and I just believe he's doing it. Does anybody else just believe he's doing it? That we're in the middle, actually, of a move of God. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's an honor to be part of it, to receive all the King wants to give us. Trying to figure out where I want to go today with this. I'll buy myself a little time. So we have Christmas Eve coming up, which is awesome. And I love Christmas Eve. So I do want to encourage you sooner than later to RSVP. And you say, well, why do we RSVP? Like, this is church. We can come. This is America. Yes, you're right. You can come. But RSVP is not for you. It's more for us to prepare for other people. So one of my first Christmas Eves here, we have about, 800 and some seats in this room. We had over 1,100 people show up for the first service on Christmas Eve, and it was crazy. It was awesome, but like people were standing like three deep. There was like people, like bodies all over the place. We didn't really serve those people well. And so we're asking that you would RSVP just so we can prepare and plan for you. Just to be clear, it doesn't mean that you have a specific seat. And actually, if we're just shooting straight, it doesn't even mean you're going to get a seat. It just means that we're going to try to prepare for you, and we're going to try to spread people over three services and not just everybody come to one. Is that good? So I do want to encourage you this week, if you got friends coming, family coming, that you would jump online, figure out which one of those three services you're going to join us, and then go ahead and RSVP so we can plan, so others can plan accordingly. And then because we're gathering Friday, let me just make this real clear. It's the first time you're hearing this, but because we're gathering Friday, that's like our weekend gathering, okay? So Friday, Christmas Eve, we're celebrating here, Jesus. Saturday is Christmas, Jesus. Sunday, we're not going to be gathered in this room, okay? We actually believe that Jesus can meet us in our homes, right? We learned that the hard way in COVID, right? Jesus is not just limited to a little room for an hour on Sunday, that he's everywhere. And so because we're gathering on Friday, we are going to be streaming a message that my wife and I are going to be doing. We're going to have some worship, but we believe that we actually can worship God in our homes. Whether you're by yourself or you got family in, I would encourage you to pull up YouTube, join us on that Sunday morning as we gather all over the city, all over the region, and really all over the world. We got people that tune in. So we will not be here in person on Sunday. Are we all good with that, right? We're gathering Friday in person, Jesus, Saturday, Jesus, reason for the season, Sunday, Jesus, but in your home, okay? And that's a couple reasons why it takes a lot of volunteers to do what we do here on Sunday. And we just believe that our volunteers should be able to take a deep breath and to enjoy this time. A lot of people travel, a lot of people just have things going on, and so we just want it to be a sweet day where people can just enjoy the beauty and the splendor of Jesus in their own home. And so Friday we're here, Saturday, Sunday we're not, but you can join us online. Sunday, it's going to be an incredible weekend. It's coming fast. So Advent today, I'm gonna see what I can do here. I won't try to keep you guys till 1 o'clock at least. Nobody laughed at that one either. Y'all are just not fun today. I don't know. We're talking about joy, people. Come on, wake up. No, just joking. So today we're in Advent, and we've been talking about how Advent is looking back first. What are we looking? We're looking at the Advent. That word means coming or arrival. So we're looking at the birth of Christ. We're also in this season looking to the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that he would come back. And so as we're in Advent, we look back to his birth, but we also look forward to his coming, his second Advent, his second arrival. But as we're in the middle of his coming first as a baby boy and as his return as the king is going to establish his throne on the earth as it is in heaven, we're in the middle, and we believe as we read the scriptures, as you even heard testimony today, that God is coming right now. He's revealing himself. He's making himself available. It's not just the future. It's not just the past. It's right this moment. So in this Advent season, we're looking at these really foundational topics: hope, love, joy, peace, not on the sunset, not on the horizon, but what's it look like right here, right now? And so today I want to look at joy, and I'm going to start in Isaiah 9, and then I'm going to be in Luke 2. If you've got your Bible, you're going to follow along with me. So in Isaiah, we're going to pick up in chapter 9 here. We have Isaiah speaking about a day that is to come. He's prophesying. He's speaking about something that has not happened yet. So verse 2, chapter 9, says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divided the spoil." Now skip down to verse 6. It says, "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given." So this is a foreshadowing. This is a speaking out about what is to come, which we believe is Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment to this prophetic word from Isaiah. Now, I want you to take note here today that he says, in the midst of great darkness. In the midst of great darkness and in utter darkness, it was in that moment that the light came in. Now, keep that theme. So that was the prophetic picture for what is to come. And then if we go to Luke chapter 2, where we see Jesus come as a baby boy. He's born. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's put in a manger. We're going to pick up in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. So these guys are working graveyard. Anybody ever work graveyard, by the way? How many of you know it's usually really dark on graveyard shift, right? So now, what was it? It said the earth was covered in darkness. The light came in. Now, there's so many layers to the truth of Scripture. Like, we just, like, love the surface, but I believe it's really intentional that the angel came to the shepherds in the middle of the night watch where they're trying to keep their eyes open. You guys know what I'm talking about, like, trying to stay awake. And it was in this dark time, in this night, that the angel came, and look what the angel said. So the angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great what? Joy. That will be for," what's that word? Everybody say all. All of us say all. How about that? All people. All the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So in the middle of night, great darkness, in a season of great darkness where people hadn't heard from the Lord, hadn't, at least publicly, we hadn't known that the Lord was speaking for about 400 years. So it was a time of darkness, a time of, man, is this Savior ever gonna come? It was generations and generations. And then it was in this moment that the angel shows up and he says, "I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people." Ah, what is the good news? God is faithful. He has done what he said he would do all the way back in Isaiah, all the way back, actually even in Genesis, where he said that he would have one that comes and would step on the head of the serpent. This is the fulfillment to what all God had promised, that he would make all things right, that he would redeem us, that he would make a way where there is no way. The good news is that the king has come. Very differently than the Jews thought. He would bring about his plan very, very differently. And that's why his first message was, change your mind. It's going to look different than you thought. Change your mind about what you thought it was going to look like. I'm here to show you. And with that good news, the gospel, the good news, came great joy for all the people. Oh, isn't that offensive though? Like, can we just say, like, just a few, like, people that are like me? See, Jesus is really, really offensive in his message of truth. He said it's good news of great joy for all the people. And so what is this joy that we're talking about today? The dictionary, this is what we read in our language. When we say joy, it's emotion evoked by well-being, by success, by good fortune, or by the prospect, the potential of possessing what one desires. Joy is a deeper emotion than happiness. Happiness tends to be fleeting. Like, my team won, yay, then my team lost. It's like there, it's like very dependent, like, you know. But joy, the emotion, even science would show that it's actually different chemically in your brain, that joy has the ability to be maintained even when things aren't going the way you want them to. It's a much stronger emotion. And as we're going to see today in the scriptures, this joy that we're talking about, it's not a human, it's not something that we have the ability to do. And so I put together this, just real short, this is what I think it helps us understand. So joy is the supernatural fulfillment or the hope of fulfillment. I say supernatural because it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our circumstance. It comes from the one who's other than human, God. It's supernatural. The joy that he wants you to have today. And so I want to look at this joy and I want us to see what it looks like. And so real practically, what's it look like for joy today? Not just joy in the past where Jesus came, not just joy in the future when he comes again, but today, how many of you want more joy? Anybody besides me? Are y'all with me today? Anybody else want some more joy? Yeah, a couple of you. Yes, there, my mic will work now. Okay, so for those that want joy, here goes. Four things I'd love for you to write down today that I think help us to walk in a greater measure of joy. Number one is our view of God. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors and preachers, he says this in his book, Knowledge of the Holy, the very first part of chapter one. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So for you, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about God? That's important for us to wrestle and like meditate on. Like, what do I think of when I think of God? And the reason why that's really important here is because many of us, not all of us, and I love that we're in a church where we got lots of different backgrounds, but many of us growing up in more of a Bible Belt area, like we have framed up what God is like. And some of us, that's a really good thing, but some of us, it's a really not so good thing. And the way we view God, the way we think about God, it isn't just our relationship with God, but it reflects into every area of our life. It's how I view the news. It's how I view my work. It's how I view my spouse. It's how I view my relationships with my friends and also my enemies. The view that we have of God, it impacts everything. And unfortunately, I think many of us lack joy because we have a wrong understanding of God. And I was listening to a song this week that was really profound. And I was like, man, I think that's how a lot of us think about God. Let me see if you know this. He's making a list. Checking it twice. Going to find out if you're naughty or nice. God is always watching. And for many of us, that's really how we were raised. The way I described it in first service, it's like whack-a-mole. Like God is just waiting for you to mess up. And as soon as I mess up, whoop-a-bam! Oh, he did it again. Whoop-a-bam! Right? I really enjoyed that for some reason. I don't know why, but... Like, that's how we think of God. Like, he's just waiting to take me behind the woodshed and tell me all the things that I did wrong. Like, he's just waiting for me to mess up. And he would never acknowledge when I do anything good. And so we have this weird, twisted view of God that he's like this guy that's just always angry. He's like a drill sergeant, just on you and on you and on you. And he's never pleased with you. And he's really not really even for you. Because you're never really good enough. And if we have that picture of God, I'm telling you, it'll impact everything in your life. It'll impact everything in your life. And honestly, there's not a lot of joy when we think about a God like that. Yet thankfully, as we think about the advent of Christ, we see what God is really like. Colossians says, and this is beautiful, so beautiful. He says that the fullness, Paul writes to the church of Colossae, that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. Not 30%, not 60%, not 99%, but the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. The Hebrew writer says that Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of the Father. Even Jesus himself says this, and this is where it gets so profound. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so when we have these ideas about God being a drill sergeant or somebody who's just trying to whack a mole or just, man, don't mess up, don't make eye contact with God. Don't ever get caught looking at God because, man, he will tell you what you're doing wrong. When we have that idea, we miss out on what Jesus is showing. Jesus came to show us what is the Father like. Anybody else believe that? And so here, when we read the scriptures, which I love the scriptures, when we read the New Testament and we read the Old Testament, we got to make sure that our understanding of God in this whole book is aligned with what we see God is like in Jesus, because he's the image of the invisible God. So if I read something in the Old Testament, I'm like, man, that doesn't really sound like Jesus. Then you know where I lean? I lean into Jesus because he's the fullness of the Father on the earth to show me. And so why is there so much joy? Why is it good news? Because we don't have to guess what God is like. Jesus comes to earth. It's not a God that's far off, like sending lightning bolts down. Pow, pow. No, we have a God, Emmanuel, that comes near to those and offers himself in vulnerability to humanity. That's the kind of God we have. And if we don't have that kind of perspective of what God is like, this view of God, then we won't ever have real joy in our life. What we think about God impacts the measure of joy that we will have and how we experience it on this earth. Secondly, the measure of joy that we have is influenced by God's view of us. The measure of our joy is influenced by how God views us. Now, once again, depending on what kind of upbringing you had, you may have very different views of what God thinks about you. You know, for decades and maybe longer than that, the common practice, especially in the Bible Belt, was a preacher would have to, like, his objective was to make everybody in the room feel as bad as possible about themselves. You ever been in that sermon before? Like, the fact that you walked in here, God's like, seriously, today? That guy? And so the goal, let me just reframe this though. So for some of you that grew up that way and there's pain, let me just reframe that. I believe that your pastor deeply, deeply loved you and wanted to send you to Jesus. I do believe that. Like that man and that woman that was leading that way, I believe his heart or her heart for you was that he would pull you to, but in their thinking, the only way that you could come to Jesus is if you felt so bad about yourself that you're trash, that you're nothing, that you're worthless. And if you did, then maybe God would just give you a little bit of grace. And so their heart was to love you, but here's the thing, that's not how Jesus approached it. Like, I sometimes I get, like, why do we do the things we do? How do we get to be preaching this way? When Jesus did, you know what the scripture says? It's the kindness of God that leads you to change your mind or repent. Did y'all hear me on that? It's the kindness of God that changes your mind about what God is like. That's what we read about last week when he says that he loved the world so much that he sent his son. Not to condemn the world, not to point out all the ways that we fail, but to save us. It's a very different view of God. This is why when we read the scriptures and how does God view us? Well, he said he's a friend of sinners. How many of you love that Jesus is a friend of sinners? Anybody besides me, right? That Jesus, as we just sang about, he sits down with thieves and prostitutes and those the religious systems would never let in, Jesus invites them to his dinner table to have an intimate conversation. What if we viewed ourselves as God does, more than just what religion or tradition teaches us? Third thing, and I'll go quickly here, our measure of joy is influenced by our awareness of God's presence. I love this one. So here's two scriptures here that help us see this. So Psalm 16:11, he says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Now, does this sound like a God that's walking around a whack-a-mole, like a hammer? Like a big paddle ready to just, no. He says, "You make known to me the path of life," not death. He makes known our life. Like, he says, "In your presence there's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there's pleasure forever." Do you know that God? Is that the God that you think about when you think about God, that he has pleasures forevermore? That in his presence is joy. Let me tell you what David continues. Psalm 21, verse 6 says, "For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence." What if it's not? Okay, don't make eye contact with Jesus. What if it's, let's run to Jesus? Because in his presence is joy. So don't you love that about God? Like this, like he's so infinitely wise in the way he created all things that everything that you are really after in life, he's put in himself. You want love? Don't look in all the wrong places. It's in Christ. You know why he puts it in himself? So that you come to him. You want peace? He says, "I am the Prince of Peace." You want peace? He says, "Come to me. I will give you peace. Nothing else will last. I will give you peace." You want joy? Come to the source of all joy. He puts it in himself so that you and I would come to him. Not like, I can't see Jesus. No, it's like, come to me. Come to me. You think you're not welcome? No, I showed you that I came as a baby. I sat down with people that the religious system chewed up and spit out. I will come to you. You come to me. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And that's why at this church, we love worship and prayer. You say, what is behind this church? How do we see what's going on? How do we have stories of people being physically healed? Why are we celebrating baptisms? Why are we seeing people set free from addiction and stepping into the kingdom of God? What is it about? It is about us being a church where his presence is our priority. It's not franchise model church. It's not what's the hottest thing going on the earth. No, our desire as a church, and we don't always get this right, but man, how can we make his presence our priority? We're that simple. And we do that through worship and prayer. That's why every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in this room from 12 to 1, we gather, whether there's one person or 100 people. Why on Thursday nights, 6:30, 7:30, right here in this room, we give ourselves to worship and prayer. So what happens? In prayer, what are we doing? We're connecting with God, not necessarily just getting our answered prayers, but we are becoming like God. Like what if your prayer life was not just like, I just want to get these things done, but like I'm entering into prayer, I'm entering into a divine dialogue so that I can get to know God and I become more like him. And worship, the same kind of goes for worship. Why do we sing songs? It's not just like an appetizer for the main dish. Anybody else believe that? Like I love the word people. If you're a word person, man, you are welcome here. I love the word. I want to be a man of the word of God. But you know what the word says? That worship is really important to God. And singing and dancing before the Lord is actually the invitation, and we know that God likes it a lot. Because in that moment, we're telling God, we're doing our first thing, we're loving God. That's our first priority, ministering to him. So we're loving God, we're singing about him. And as we do that, we're actually preaching to ourselves. We're singing truth about ourselves, about who he is. And so we want to cultivate a community where we don't just miss out on God, but we actually recognize that he is everywhere at all times and that we move with him. And then the last thing here, if you're taking notes here and you're still with me, is the measure of joy that we will experience is influenced by our perspective. Our perspective. Hebrews 12:1. 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking to who? Looking to Jesus. We could all stand and look at Jesus a little bit longer. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, this joy is not just circumstantial. Jesus right here he's speaking about him going to the cross, and he says, man, there is a joy that's set before him. Even this torture, this incredible death, he said, in the midst of that, there is a perspective that God has. And Jesus is operating that. He knew the perspective that even in the cross, the love of the Father would never fail him. But he also knew in the cross, what's on the other side of the cross is that we as humanity would be restored back to the Father. And so he says, he looks at this trial, he looks at this hardship, and he says, for the joy set before him in the cross, he could endure it. That's why James chapter 1 says, count it all joy. It blows your mind. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. For in it will be produced steadfastness. It's perspective. There's a perspective here of the world, but there's also a perspective we have when we're seated in heavenly places and we see things the way that God does. And I'm telling you, in the midst of loss, in the midst of pain, it is possible to have joy. Not fake Christianity, happy, everything's great, and but. No. We can actually have real joy even in the midst of hard things. I want to close by just sharing a story. The last couple of weeks, we were just navigating some heavy things in my home. We had some family members that were very, very sick, and we weren't sure if they were going to make it. That was the first time in Kate and I's life that we had to experience that and walk that journey, and it just kind of shook us a little bit, and or more than a little bit, a lot. And at the same time, we had had some hopes and some things we were wanting to do and endeavor and see for our family that just didn't happen. You ever have a plan and it just didn't work very well? So there were some things that we had been hoping for a while, and it just seemed like it hit a dead end. And so there just began to be a little bit of this darkness creeping into me. Now, I'm a positive person. Like, if you know the Enneagram, Enneagram 7, like, there is, like, I don't even see hard things sometimes. I'm like, let's just go win for Jesus. Let's go. Very positive, forward. Let's go. But, you know, in this couple weeks ago, like, it started getting dark for me, and like, I knew it started getting bad because after a couple days into it, like, I didn't really hate the darkness. It kind of felt comfortable, kind of like, okay, I could, and that was weird for me because I'm not that way by nature. And as I was in this moment of just kind of wallowing in my own pit, how many of you know the enemy loves to speak in those moments? Some of y'all like shaking your head. Anybody else understand that? Like, the lies of the enemy get really, really loud when we get in that place. And it was so weird. Like, I started like questioning my whole life. Have you ever done that? You're like, man, what am I doing with my life? Like, that's, I'm like turning 38. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting so old. Oh my goodness. What am I doing with my life? Like, seriously, like, those are the questions in my head. Like, why am I doing not more with my life? I'm like, God must be so disappointed with me. Oh. Everybody knows that voice. I'm not doing enough. And it's really weird. This is one of the things. And so my joy just was like on a downward trend. Sort of like some of our stock this kind of last couple of weeks. It was like, ugh. And what happened is I started comparing myself. I know y'all don't ever deal with that. But I started looking at people. Like, even like, this is how weird. Like, I'll just show you how foolish I am just so it may help you. Like I played with a guy in college football, the guy that is now the Notre Dame head coach. Like, I played with him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, man, that guy, he's like younger than me, and look what he's doing, and look at me. These are real things. Like, I'm just being honest before you, and I'm just wallowing in my own pit. Like, what am I even doing with my life? And so there was some just heaviness, and my wife was navigating her own things because of just the illness stuff that was happening in our close family. And it was weird because I kind of just wanted to be there. And thankfully, my wife is the much better half. And one day we were at home and I was working from home on my message. And she said, what are you doing? Don't you love sometimes where spouses can just cut the chase? Like, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean? I'm like having a pity party. Can you just leave me alone? Like, I wanted a hug. And she's like, what are you doing? And it was in a moment of just dark kind of thoughts. I was having just a lot of questions and a lot of things. And she asked me this question that really brought some light in. And she said, are you doing what God has asked you to do? And I took a moment and I thought back to what God has called me to do. And he hasn't called me to be the coach of Notre Dame. Maybe Tennessee might need my help a little bit. Hey, they're going in the right direction. He hadn't called me to be, you know, some CEO of some company. Like, all the things that I thought I would be one day. Like, just the enemy was just, man. And at the end of that, I was thinking, I was like, yeah, baby, you're right. Like, we're as best we can. We've been faithful to what God's called us to. Not perfect. No, not even close, but we've tried to be faithful. And as we had that conversation, I just almost felt like in my mind, like the door opened up and some light came in. Didn't make everything disappear in the moment, but it allowed some light in. And as that light came in, there was some hope and there was some joy. And then this week, I sat down with a young guy in our church that's going through some really hard things. And in my office, we talked through some things and we prayed. And as I was praying, as we were praying together, it doesn't happen all the time, and I wish it did, but like the glory of God felt so strong in the room, like I did not want to leave. Like, we just sat there. The Lord was so generous to us in that moment. And we both looked at each other and down, we're like, that was wild. And I just felt like the Lord saying, Derek, keep being faithful. And there was a joy that came. Why? Because I needed the perspective of God, not Derek's perspective. I didn't need the world's perspective. I needed the Father's perspective. And some of us today, you don't need more of the same perspective that you have right now. You need to know, what does heaven think about you? What does heaven desire for you? What does the Lord God say about you? And when we hear that, and when we step into it, and when we agree with it, I'm telling you, there's potential for joy that you could never understand. So this morning, as we close up here, I know we're running a little late, so hang in here just a minute. I think it's important. I want us to just take a few minutes, and I want us to meditate on Jesus, and I want us to walk through these first three things that I talked about. So I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes, and I want you to meditate on Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. And so for us to think about Jesus, to set our mind on him is really healthy. It's not new age. It's actually deeply biblical to think about Jesus. And as we think about him, I just want to make sure that we're on solid ground on what is God like. And so I'm just going to read to you what is true about God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God is love. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our healer. He is our restorer. He is our Savior. He is holy and perfect. He is the very definition of good. He is our merciful High Priest. He is our Comforter, the Light of the world, Friend of sinners, King of kings, Lord of lords, Author of all faith, Father of light, Sustainer of life, the perfect, perfect, perfect Father. He is eternal. He is the truth. And nothing is impossible with him. So you just take a moment and just you say thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, God, for this is who you are. Just all around the room, you just tell the Lord what you love about him this morning. And as we keep our eyes on Christ, as we just revel in how amazing God is, magnify him and lift him up, let's also just root ourselves in truth of what does God say about us. This is what God says about you in Christ. You are chosen. You are forgiven. You are free. You are beloved. You are a child of God. You are a masterpiece. You are valuable. You are a royal priesthood. You are a friend of God. You are a co-heir. Co-heir with Christ. You are his people. You are his bride. You are a conqueror. You are a treasured possession. You are holy and blameless and righteous in Christ. You should just take a moment and just allow that truth to set in and thank the Lord for one of those. Lord, as we sit here and meditate upon you and your truth, and as we receive what you say about us, we thank you that your Spirit is here. Jesus, you said it's better that you go, that you would send the Holy Spirit. That at Pentecost, your Spirit was poured out on all flesh, and that your presence is here in this room. Your presence is within us as followers of Jesus Christ. Because you are here with us, because you are in us, Lord, joy is possible, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. In Romans, we read that the Father of hope, the God of hope, fill us with great joy and peace in believing by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would abound or we would overflow with hope. So why don't you just take a moment and just ask the Lord yourself if he would fill you with a new measure of joy this week. Just right even now. We just ask you, Jesus, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would empower us with a new, fresh anointing of joy. For those of us that are walking in a heavy season, a dark season, like I just shared about, or like the young lady did, Lord, I pray that the door would be open and the light would shine in, because the darkness cannot overcome it. Holy Spirit, would you minister in a deeper way than we could ever use our words to explain? Lead us into truth that sets us free. Thank you for this community, for this church that we call Christ Fellowship. I thank you that you are our priority. Thank you for the grace and the mercy you give us as we learn to navigate and follow with you, as we learn to advance your kingdom. Lord, would you continue to pour out your favor and blessing and grace upon this community and our region? We say, Lord, if you're doing it anywhere in the world, would you do it here in East Tennessee? Lord, fill us with a new level of your spirit, and may we walk with him this week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our ministry team is going to be up here. If you have any needs whatsoever, we would love to pray with you. If you're like, man, I want to know this Jesus guy more, we would love to talk to you about him. If you have physical healing, like we talked about earlier, Candace shared, we would love to pray. Physical healing, any other need, we'd love to pray with you. We love you guys. Make sure you RSVP this week for Christmas Eve. We will see you next Sunday.